Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on privacy right after this. Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. And this surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity from bank deposits to medical visits has produced greater efficiency and security, all right. But it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. Now, the federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American. Now, that's according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. Now, closer to home, our state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us, and a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems. These systems contain 10,799 categories of information about New York residents, and each system contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, this information about you is being gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how government, banking, insurance, business, and industry obtains all this information? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for anyway? Well, knowing how this information is being gathered, and then what information is being stored, and what information you want to keep personal and private, that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, if you'd like more information about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and just as private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, doesn't cost you anything. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. georgegordon.org, go to the archives page. Hey, I got an article here talking about privacy where it says, Uncle Sam has all your numbers. Now, remember what I just told you here. New York State, just one state out of 50. Listen to this number again. New York State has 1,776 separate data systems. And those systems contain 10,799 categories of information. My God, I couldn't think of 10,000 things to ask people or to keep records on. I mean, do they keep records on your fingernail growth? Do they keep track of how fast your hair grows? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But they got 10,799 categories of information. They want to know your age and name and address and phone number and, you know, all these things. And that's the categories. And they got 1,776 separate data systems. And they've got 2 to 10 million records in each one of the 1,776 system. Well, obviously, you're located in more than one database. Hey, and did you catch that number? The federal government keeps, on average, 15 records on every U.S. citizen. They've got 15 file folders on you. So J. Edgar Hoover, he's got one. The Selective Service System, they've got one. Maybe the Veterans Administration has one. You know, there's all these government agencies over here that have records about your military service, your driving record, insurance, you know, all these things that we buy and sell and trade and do, and, you know, somebody's got to keep a record of it. Now, I run a school here, and I won't tell you how many students come through here. It's one of the things that I don't want to talk about, but, you know, there's 3 or 4 come through here every once in a while. And over the years, I've been here for 30 years, you know, so we take, you know, 5 or 6 a year come through here. And you add all of those up. Do you know I don't have any records on any of those students? And that's because here, just as a matter of policy here at the law school, we don't keep any student records at all. None. I don't have your name, address, or telephone number. And that's because all of my students pay in gold, and they pay cash. So I don't have any credit. And they don't owe me anything, and I really don't want to talk to them. I just wanted to collect my fee, and I collect my money, and that's the end of it. So I really don't need your phone number, and I'm not going to write you a letter. Now, I'm not opposed to you calling me on the phone, so I give you my phone number here every broadcast. I must put it out there 10 times every broadcast. I do that 7 days a week, and I've been doing that, you know, for about 10 or 12 years. like 99 is when they started these radio programs. So I'm not keeping my telephone number secret, and I'm not keeping it a secret that we run a law school here. And I'm not necessarily keeping it a secret as to who the students might be here. But what if the government called me on the phone and they said, hey, did you have a student come through there by the name of Joe Padroni? And I would say, I don't know. I don't know. Well, would you look that name Joe Padroni up in your records? And I'd tell him, no, I won't. And then the guy would say, well, why not? Well, because I don't have any records to look up. Well, why don't you have any records there to look up? And I'd say, because I don't keep any records. Well, why don't you keep any records? Because I protect the privacy of my students. Well, why do you do that? Because I practice the Fourth Amendment to the Federal Constitution. Well, why do you do that? Because I'm not a communist anymore. I used to be, but I quit. I know, this is really wild and off the wall, isn't it? It's kind of crazy. I know it drives government bureaucrats nuts. I've had the FBI here more than once, and they want to talk to me about my students. And I said, well, I don't know much I can tell you about him. I might remember somebody. Yeah, he went to school here. What classes did he take? I don't know. Do you have any records or books? Don't you keep track of them? No. Did he pay you for that? He did. Yeah, he had to. I wouldn't have taught him anything if he didn't pay me. That's how simple that is. In fact, we require payment here. We don't take discharges. You can't discharge. We only want payment. Got to have payment, lawful money, gold or silver coin. Don't take checks, credit cards, insurance, vouchers, warrants, stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments. See, we only deal in just weights and balances here. We don't practice theft. We practice thou shalt not steal. You shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag, and because of that, just solves a lot of problems. I don't have any bad credit here. We don't have any credit, so we don't have any bad credit. Therefore, I don't need to keep any records on any students, and so therefore, your privacy is protected here. Whether you wanted to protect your privacy or not is beside the point. There isn't any privacy for you to protect here at the law school because we don't keep any records. And that's special. Well, what if you lived your life in such a way that on a cash and carry basis and you didn't give out information and you just paid for what you bought and you paid for it in gold and silver and you lived your life pursuant to the Ten Commandments and the Constitution of the United States? Do you know you'd have a lot of privacy, you know that? The people that don't have privacy or that have privacy concerns are communists, socialists, and other fellow travelers that don't practice the Ten Commandments and they don't practice just weights and balances. Now, that doesn't mean that the government doesn't know anything about me. I was surprised the other day. I had a need to call my old high school at Ferndale, California, and ask them if they still had any of my school records. And they had them all. They've got all my grades. They can tell me who all my teachers were. They can tell me how many days that I missed in school. I mean, there are no secrets, boy. I went to school at Ferndale High School, and there are no secrets. They got it all. It's still right there. And that was in 1957. That was the last time I attended school there. Let's see, how long ago was that? 57, 60, 70, 80, 90, 110, 53 years ago. They still got those records 53 years later. And I'll bet you that 53 years from now, they'll still have those same records right there, long after I'm dead and buried. What do they want them for? It's a part and parcel with government mentality. It's a part and parcel with socialism and communism. You know, once they got you, they got you. They ain't never going to let you go. So your military records and school records and your prison records and jail records and court records and all, you know, marriage records and child support payment records, whatever record your government has that they have taken from you or that you have given to them for all these years, even records that go back to the Revolutionary War, they can tell you the guy's name, address, phone number, everything about every Revolutionary War soldier, whether he got busted, you know, from sergeant to corporal and so on. All the medals that he was awarded and all the valor that he displayed and all the people that he killed, and, you know, they got the whole thing right there. The guy's been dead for 200 years and they still have all the records and books. And they'll keep those records and books until Judgment Day. And the only time that that's ever going to be destroyed is when God burns the earth. You know, they'll keep it. So you make up your mind to that one. Now, there's a lot of other records out there and books that maybe you don't want bandied about on Facebook. And there's a lot of information out there that you can just prevent. And so one of the first things you do is to stay off of Facebook if you're not on it, and if you're on it, get off of it. I mean, that's for people that don't want any privacy. Anybody that's on Facebook does not want any privacy. They want to walk around, they're like nudists. They want to walk around and display everything that they've got. And I'm not opposed to that. I mean, no, this isn't a diatribe on trying to get you to to be private. I don't care. You know, go out and tell the world anything you want to. But a lot of times it'll come back and it'll bite you in the butt if you do that. And so you might want to be thinking about, well, maybe I really don't want to tell everybody that. Well, here's an article that says, Uncle Sam has all of your numbers. Thought I'd cover that one in this program. As part of a new and aggressive effort to track down parents who owe child support, in federal government, or the federal government, has created a vast computerized data monitoring system that includes all individuals with new jobs and the names, addresses, social security numbers, and wages of nearly every working adult in the United States. I underlined nearly every working adult. I'm a working adult. They don't have mine. So nearly every, isn't everybody, but it's pretty close. Government agencies have long gathered personal information for specific reasons, such as collecting taxes. That's a good one to underline. So they want the information to collect taxes. But never before have federal officials had the legal authority and the technological ability to locate so many Americans found to be delinquent parents, or such potential to keep tabs on Americans accused of nothing. Now, if they can keep track of all Americans, well, that includes you and me and everybody else. So I don't want to be in that group. I'd like to kind of step out off to the side over here and let them keep track of you and everybody else, but just not me. Now, the system was established under a little-known part of the law overhauling welfare 3 years ago. It calls for all employers to quickly file reports on every person they hire. I'll underline that, they hire. And quarterly, the wages of every worker. States regularly must report all people seeking unemployment benefits. Okay, so I'll underline that. And child support cases. That's what they really want, that forced child support cases. So now, starting next month, the system will reach further. Large banks and other financial institutions will be obligated to search for data about delinquent parents by name on behalf of the government, providing authorities with details about bank accounts, money market, mutual funds, and other holdings of those parents. State officials, meanwhile, have sharply expanded the use of Social Security numbers. Congress ordered the officials to obtain the 9-digit numbers when issuing licenses, such as drivers, doctors, and outdoorsmen, in order to revoke the licenses of delinquents. Isn't that special? Now, what if you didn't have any licenses? And what if you didn't have any bank accounts? And, you know, you can just go on and on over here. Now, a lot of times people say, well, they want these licenses. Well, okay. Don't let me get in your way. A lot of these things that you think that you want, you know, you really don't want, can't use, don't need, and shouldn't have. That's another story for another day, but I just wanted to point out to you that maybe you don't need all these licenses and permits and all this. Now, the government tells you that you want them, and they tell you that you need them, and tell you that you can't do this or that or something else without them, but, you know, maybe you could live your life without so much of these accoutrements and these entrapping documents. Privacy requires a little work and diligence here. It ain't impossible, but, you know, a little work and diligence in the right place. Now, I'm not complaining about the banks, and I'm not complaining about the licenses and the permits. I don't have any licenses, don't have any permits. Not asking for any, don't need any, living fine without them. I'm doing just about everything I want to do in life. I can't think of anything that I want to do that I can't do or I'm not doing. And I'm doing it all without the accoutrements. I'm not giving out a lot of information here. So that's just me now. I'm not sitting here telling you that that's what you ought to do or should do or might do. I'm just telling you that that's what I'm doing. Maybe that'll be of interest to you. Now, enforcement officials say that decoupling of computer technology with details about individuals' employment and financial holdings will give them an unparalleled ability to identify and locate parents who owe child support and then, when necessary, withhold money from their paychecks or freeze their financial assets. So if you've got stocks and bonds, they know, wait a minute, could this go further than child support? Could this go to tax delinquency and things like that? So, you know, there's public documents out there. If you buy stocks and bonds, that's all public. You can't keep that private. There are some areas of life that you can't keep personal and private, and so you might want to avoid those. Remember I said there's 63 sources of information. Now, if you had a list of these 63 sources of information, and then what if you, one by one, just eliminated them? Let me just give you a couple of illustrations. Your bank account is a festering open sore of information. It's like an open channel right straight to the government. Now, I know you thought that your bank was private, and your banker probably told you that he's guarding your privacy and that he's opposed to government intrusions into your privacy, but I just read the article to you. And your banker complies with all the laws that Congress passes, and the banks are public corporations. Corporations have no rights. Go back to Hill versus Hinkle. And when it's all said and done, the bank will tell the government, or any government agency, anything that they want to know about you that the bank has in their possession. They will even work with the bank to get information from you that they don't have. The banker will call you on the phone, invite you in, take you out to lunch, and tell you that he needs this information over here to better service your account so he can loan you more money. And you'll go in there and give him the information, which is then going to be sent directly to the IRS, the EPA, the state tax commissioner, whatever. All right, so now that said, if you just closed your bank accounts and lived your life without dealing with the bank, you would shut off one big important, it's almost like spy and counter spy. You know, you got this KGB agent in your government agency over here. If you'd fire that guy and get him the hell out of there, then he couldn't be sending information and taking pictures and sending them back to Russia, could he? See how this works? Now, it is kind of like spy, counter-spy. It's the government running around spying on you. It isn't you spying on them. You don't give a damn about what the government's doing. You don't pay any attention to that. But they're just real concerned about what can they do to find out more about you. Isn't that special? And so it's like playing a game. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And you'll get a big kick out of it. In fact, it's about the same rush as you get from flying an airplane under a bridge or a power line. I mean, the adrenaline really flows, especially when you get to the point of no return. You know, when you're headed for the bridge, then you're about 30 feet off the water, and it finally dawns on you, you can't stop, turn around, or fly over. You're going under, and that's the end of the argument. That's a real rush. Hey, listen, closing your bank account will give you the same rush. I mean, it's exciting. Maybe not quite as exciting as turning upside down on the roller coaster, but it's an excitement. All right, now, the enforcement officials say that they've already got this in operation, past tense. So it's not something that they're going to do or that you need to vote this or that way to keep from happening. Hell, this has already been in operation. In fact, this article goes back to 11/27/99. It's been in operation for 10 years. They're already doing it. Now, in the last program, I told you about a school teacher. Hell, they were doing it to him back in the 80s. Back in the 80s. Now, they never get away from us anymore. It's just wonderful, said one government agent. What you're trying to do in child support is build a box, four walls around a person, said Brian Shea, the acting executive director of Child Support Enforcement in Maryland. And it has, in some ways, revolutionized this business. But privacy experts and civil libertarians say that the scope of the effort raises new questions about the proper line between aggressive public policy and intrusive government snooping in pursuing an objective that is almost universally applauded. See, everybody's in favor of going after these deadbeat dads, right? Okay. So the government set up a surveillance network nationwide that takes all of our information. For instance, let me show you this. If the government can identify the deadbeat dad and identify the deadbeat dad owns 50 shares of Walmart stock, well, then can't the government identify you and that you own 50 shares of Walmart stock? See how simple that is? So while they came to you and they said, no, we want to do this so we can get at these deadbeat dads, that was true. They told you the truth. What they didn't tell you is, and we want to know all about your stock transactions also, because by watching your stock transactions, we can see whether or not you filed your income tax report correctly and you declared the profit that you made off of that Microsoft stock that you sold last year, and you made a $32,000 profit. Did you pay your capital gain tax? They've got that information right in front of them too. And you thought they were just after deadbeat dads. They were, but not totally. They're after every single American. They want to see every financial transaction that you make, so that they can then determine, well, did you pay all the taxes that you owe? Now, if you're a part and parcel with the system and you're playing the game, well, then they've got that information. See, that's a little piece of privacy that you've lost. Well, you know, you add one here and you add one there, and pretty soon you don't have any privacy at all. I'm amazed at what people admit over Facebook. I was talking to the boy the other day, and he said, all this personal information is sitting out here, you know? I mean, if I was a hacker and a thief, I'd be on Facebook, and I'd be all over you people out there. I think that's where they get most of their information, so that they can assume your identity and then rape, rob, and pillage you. I think that you're bringing it on yourself, but then, you know, let your conscience be your guide. Now, what you have here is a compilation of information that is much better and more current than any other data system in the United States, said Robert Gelman. He's a lawyer and privacy specialist in the district. All of a sudden, we're on the verge of creating the holy grail of data collection. It's a central file on every American. See, they've already got that now. See, with the Patriot Act and Homeland Security, they've now combined all of these together. They got a central file on every American. Now, I don't mind the government having a central file on George Gordon. I'm just concerned about what's in the file. So, in order to keep that information out of the file, now that I know that the bank is a loose cannon on the Gordon ship, I closed all my bank accounts, and so I got that cannon under control. Now, how many of these cannons are there? 37. How do you like that? And I said there's 63 sources of information that they go to, and I got them all listed. I know exactly what those are. And the bank is just one of many. Insurance company, that's another one. See, I don't have any insurance. Now, I don't do business with the bank because that violates thou shalt not steal. I don't do any business with insurance companies because insurance companies are criminal institutions that are prohibited in Exodus 21, verse 28 through 36. See how that works? So when you obey God, keep His commandments, and practice the Ten Commandments, all of a sudden, you can just eliminate a whole lot of trouble. You know that? And I tell my students plainly, you can stay out of more trouble than you can get out of. Now, your government wants you to buy insurance. In fact, that's why they just enacted this new national health care insurance program. That's to wrap up everybody in the nation. We're going to get you all under this insurance program. You can't get better information than an insurance company. I mean, that insurance company's got information on you that the bank drools over, and you give it all to them. See, when you go to the doctor, you confess. Going to the doctor is like going to the priest on Thursday night for confession. You're just going to open your mouth and tell him everything. And the doctor writes all that down, puts it in his computer file, and he makes that available to the insurance company. The insurance company then makes that available to the government. And you thought you had a doctor-client relationship, a privilege. Well, you do. And the privilege is to give up all this information, spill your guts, and then the government can use that information against you in any way that they deem fit. Isn't that special? I knew you'd like it. Now, under the system, every employer must send information about new hires and quarterly wages paid to the state child support agencies. State officials gather the data along with information on unemployment benefits and child support cases, and then they ship it to computers run by the Administration for Children and Families. ACF officials then use computers to sort and send back to the state authorities reports about people obligated to pay child support. Government officials say the system is safe, accurate, and discreet. Discreet? Well, discreet from who? You and everybody else. It's right out there for all government officials to look at. They also say it's secure because it has, among other safeguards, systems that confirm the accuracy of Social Security numbers. Officials say it will not intrude into the lives of most people. Officials say, well, it won't intrude into the lives of most of the people. Wait a minute, you're going to keep a central data bank on every American? Isn't that intruding upon the privacy of every single person? See, they lie to us a lot. And so on the one hand, they say, well, we're going to keep a file on you, a central data file over here, but that's not going to intrude upon your life. Isn't that special? Okay, so I've got a file in Washington, D.C. I'm not dumb. I know my government. And they've got all of the information from Ferndale, California, and Corbell, California, all my school records. You know, they got selective service records and driving records and all of this from the past. Now, if at some time you ever wake up, see, your Social Security, when you resign from Social Security, well, then that ends. They've got all the information up through 1978. And then from 1978, I could go in there once in a while, you go into the Social Security Administration and say, hey, how much information have you got on this number here? And it's, oh, my God, it stopped in 1978. Did you die? No, I'm still here. I'm just not participating in the program. I quit working back in 78, and I don't intend to go back to work again. Now I'm 70. I'm not drawing the benefits. Sometimes I say, but why aren't you drawing these benefits? Oh, no, I don't want the mark of the beast. I don't want to draw the benefits. I just want to look at the look on your face when you see somebody over here that you have a file on, and I'm not drawing your benefits. Sometimes I think I'm crazy. I'm just private. Just private. I just want to keep it to myself. And that's what I've been doing. Gotta love it. Like I said, it's like flying an airplane under a bridge. Well, it's a halfway time here, children. Let me give you a reminder here so that we can satisfy the government again. See, the government's got all these rules and regulations, and you got to identify yourself every once in a while. You can't be secret and anonymous now when you're on the air. So let me tell you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear in this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. And we're talking about privacy and privacy issues here. And I'm going from an article. This is a pretty old article. You probably never be able to find it. But it was called Uncle Sam Has All of Your Numbers. Pretty revealing article. Now, there's a lot of information from the ACLU, Google, Yahoo, the search engines. I mean, there's books written on privacy. And I've reviewed quite a few of them, you know, over the years here on the air and talked about it, one thing and another. And I teach two schools, so I'll just pass this on to you. One's business school. And privacy in business is pretty important. It's important for customers. It's important for businessmen. The second one here is subsistence and survival. It's important that some things that you have that you don't tell other people about and that they don't know about. So what I don't want you to know, I'm not going to tell you. And what I do want you to know, my God, I get on the air and I say, hey, let me tell you the story. Now, in those two schools, we are going to reveal a whole lot more information that gets to be more specific than what we do here on the air. Just mainly for time constraints. And articles, you know, there's a workbook with each one of my schools, and they're 3 inches thick. And they hold about one ream of paper. That's 500 sheets of paper, fit into 3 inches. And then there's two sides to it, so there's about 1,000 pages. You know, it runs 500 to 1,000 pages of material. And then each one of these statements that I make, you know, sometimes you hear me make a statement, and maybe I don't cite to you the source, you know, that comes from the FBI, or that comes from this or that or something else. Well, in all of our schools, every statement that we make comes from some citation someplace. So when I make a statement about Title 42, Section 301, you know, I'm not just whistling Dixie through a straw hat. I'm citing that from the U.S. Code. Or if I said Yoder versus Wisconsin, or Seeger versus U.S., or Miranda versus Arizona, or whatever. You know, we cite a lot of court cases and one thing and another. Statutes, you know, that come out of Congress and so on. That's because we document everything that we tell you. So if I make a statement and I didn't document it, you know, it takes time, effort, and energy to document every statement. But here in the law school, you know, we're pretty careful about that. So we work right off the workbook, and here's the statute, here's the judgment, here's the commandment, here's what God said, here's what Congress said, here's what the president said. Now, I'm covering this article here, and I'm giving you this without all of the necessary citations for time considerations. But that doesn't mean that we can't prove every word we're saying here. An examination of the program, however, going on here, shows that government officials have downplayed or overlooked a variety of privacy and security concerns as they work to meet congressional deadlines. Under the system, every employer must send this information about new hires and quarterly wages to the state child support agencies. AFC officials then use computers to sort out and send back to the state authorities the reports about people obligated to pay their child support. Government officials say the system is safe, accurate, and discreet. The computer system that houses much of the data at the Social Security Administration has known weaknesses in the security of its information systems, according to a December report by the General Accounting Office. The authorities have not studied the frequency of mistakes that might arise from incorrect data, even though the system will enable local child support enforcement officials to routinely freeze a parent's assets without an additional court hearing. Now, very few people know about the system, even though it was created through one of the signature acts of Congress in the Clinton administration. It's called the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996. Now, how can you find anything wrong with a law like the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996? Huh? I ask you. If you can't trust your government, who can you trust? Huh? Think about that. So they give you a title to the law, the Patriot Act. Did they want to call this the Unpatriot Act? Did they want to call this the Enemy Act? No. See, they want to put a positive spin on here, make you feel good. This is feely feel good time, you know. And so they put a nice title on there, which tells you just exactly the opposite from what they're really doing, like the Bush tax cuts. Okay, that's the Bush Tax Increase Act, 2003. And then the continuation of the Bush tax cut. Okay, that's a continuation of the increased 10% tax that Bush gave you in 2003. See how simple this is? It's almost like opposites. If they say up, then you want to look down. If they say right, you want to look left. Whatever the opposite is, that's just about what they're doing. Now, officials have not publicized their ability to obtain financial information because they don't want to alert delinquents to the ability of enforcement workers to seize or freeze financial assets, according to Michael Carfin, spokesman for the Federal Administration for Children and Families, which administers the program. "We're setting aside some of the courtesies in order to accomplish what we're trying to do," said Carfin, who described the network as unprecedented, vast amount of information that's updated constantly. And he added, "This is about getting financial support to the kids." God, isn't that great? This is about getting this financial support to the children. No, it isn't. It's about getting the government into your bank account and all of your financial affairs so that the government can move more expeditiously to rip you off when the time's right. Now, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think I brought this to your attention now. Pay attention. Listen up. The government's bankrupt, and the biggest pile of money left in America that's been untouched is the 401 and Krug plans. It's the retirement plans of Americans, and it contains $6 trillion, and they're going to come take it all shortly. So if you've got your money tied up in any of these plans, see, your government already knows how much you've got, where it's located, and how much tax you owe on it if you take it out early. So you might want to think about closing out your account, paying the tax, and then doing something more intelligent with your money than what the government's going to do. Because the final analysis, here's where your money's going. They're going to give you a bond. That'll be called an annuity. And then they'll have a nice name to this act. It'll be the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 2011 or something like that. And they'll give you this bond, which means that we're going to take your money, your cash money, out of your account. We're going to spend it any way we want to. And then we will pay you back with whatever the value of the money is when we pay you 20 or 30 years from now in an annuity. But you'll never be able to get your cash out. Now, when welfare reformers on Capitol Hill and the White House approved the system in 1996, their aim was to cut down welfare spending by boosting child support payments. They had in mind people such as Stephanie Dudley and her son Robert, who live in Farmington, Minnesota. Robert's father had split up with Dudley shortly after the boy was born and drifted from place to place. He owed $350 a month in child support payments, but it was hard tracking him down and getting him to pay. Officials found Robert's father and then started withholding money from his paycheck after a new employer in Pennsylvania reported him to the network. "I literally was living from check to check," Dudley said. "I mean, that money literally put shoes on the kids' feet, helped pay the rent." Well, Kathy Robbins of Tazewell, Virginia, and her 7-year-old son, Dwight, never received court-ordered child support until the system turned up his father in North Carolina. Now she gets $120 a month, money she plans to use to pay for the babysitter this summer. "It'll help," she said. "I mean, it's better than I was getting before, which was nothing." Child support advocates contend that fears about privacy are overblown when weighed against such success. Okay. Well, when you're out here collecting from all these deadbeat dads, remember now, your government now has all of your records in front of them, and they're going to collect all of the taxes from you deadbeat taxpayers. How do you like that? And it gets better as we progress along. Let's suppose you got a ticket, and you don't pay your ticket. You know, your speeding ticket that you got in Texas. Now they'll suspend your driving license. How do you like that? Now, this isn't for deadbeat dads. This is for tickets. This is for revenue collection enhancement. This is enhanced revenue collection at every stage. Now, they haven't put this thing into operation yet, but get ready, because we're getting ready for the big kahuna, the total welfare state. This is going to make Hitler blush. Hitler would be ashamed of himself compared to what's coming down in the United States of America. And I'll bet you they'll be able to do this in Canada, Australia, and France, and Belgium. Yeah, I'll bet you. God, you'll love it. That'll make it easier for you to pay taxes, too, because the day is coming when we're going to have the cashless society. You saw that in Revelation 13:16. Cashless society. Can't buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. Imagine walking into a Walmart store. You bring your card up, unload your stuff. When it comes time to pay, you know how they run all that stuff over the scanner? You'll just run your right hand right over the scanner, and it'll automatically deduct it right from your checking account. How's that? No writing checks, no signing jack squat. It'll just do it automatically. Cashless society. And then when it comes time to paying your taxes, you won't even have to file your tax return. We need to do that for all of the financial information that's already in the computer. On December 31st at midnight, it'll just make the deduction. Here's the taxes that you owe. Here's your deduction. Or here's the taxes you've already paid through withholding. Here's your refund, automatically deposited right in your checking account. Well, hey, talk about efficiency now, huh? Now, child support advocates contend that fears about privacy are overblown when weighed against these kinds of successes. Well, as of 1997, the latest year for which figures were available, more than 7.4 million delinquents owed more than $43 billion in past child support payments. The system has helped boost support payments from $12 billion in 1996 to $14.4 billion last year. Now, they call this success. And in 1997, the burgeoning system helped enforcement programs locate more than 1.2 million delinquents. Now, the system is essentially an electronic dragnet. It collects the names, social security numbers, and other data about every newly hired employee in the nation from employers, who also must provide pay reports for most wage-earning adults. States ship along the names and other identifying information of people who receive state unemployment insurance. Now, the Administration for Children and Families, a part of the Department of Health and Human Services, serves as a sort of clearinghouse that automatically matches all of that information against a file of nearly 12 million child support cases to locate parents obligated to pay support. So when the agency provides information about those parents, no matter whether they're behind on payments to the appropriate state enforcement workers, the idea is to track the parents across state lines. Supporters of the system note that Congress explicitly restricted access to it. Those authorized to use the information include the Social Security Administration, which can use the directory of new hires to verify unemployment reports, the Treasury Department, which can use it to cross-reference tax deduction claims, and researchers who gain access only to anonymous data. Notice they call this the Treasury Department. That's the IRS. That's what they want it for. Taxes. Next month, financial institutions that operate in multiple states, such as Crestar Financial Corporation, Charles Schwab, and the State Department Federal Credit Union, will begin comparing a list of more than 3 million known delinquents against their customer accounts. Isn't that special? You can rest assured Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and J.P. Morgan are all doing the same thing. Now, under federal law, the institutions are obligated to return the name, Social Security numbers, and account details of delinquents that they turn up. See, they're obligated by law to report that. It's a nationwide snitch system. That's what it boils down to. Well, okay, that's all part of the game. Now, do we want to participate in the program? If you do, stay right where you're at. And this is marvelous. If you don't like that program, if you think that your Fourth Amendment may be a little more important than you thought it was yesterday, we can go back to practicing the Ten Commandments, the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, practicing our Constitution, anytime we want. You can start tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And so that's why I thought I'd bring the information to your attention, and that we have two schools here that get down to the nitty-gritty and the specifics of, well, here's the way you actually carry that out. For instance, did you know there's 87 ways to identify you? You have 87 identifying indici to your body. So would you like to know what those 87 are? 63 identifying indici to tracking you or keeping information or that reports information on you. Social Security is one, income tax is two, your bank is three, and so on. Well, there's 60 more of those. And so you don't have a level playing field because your opponents, the government agents and agencies, they know that, but you don't. A lot of times people say, well, there's just nothing I can do. It's just overwhelming. It's just overwhelming because you're ignorant and don't know what those 63 sources are. And then I know what they are. They're not a problem. I'm not sitting here jumping up and down, getting excited about it. Now, the Administration for Children and Families will then forward that financial information to the appropriate states, to the appropriate agencies. For security reasons, Carfin said, the agency will not mix the financial data with information about new hires, wages, and the like. Bank account information will be deleted after 90 days. In a test run this spring, Wells Fargo and Company identified 72,000 customers whom states have identified as delinquents. National Bank Corp found 74,000 alleged delinquents in its test. Later this year, smaller companies that operate only in one state will be asked to perform similar services. And now they've got a new program up here now. You see this new law that's just been enacted where you got to file a 1099 on all transactions over $600? I mean, you talk about getting down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, these boys are getting serious now, aren't they? See, they started at $10,000, lowered it to $5, then to $3. Now they're going down to $600. And then when we jumped up and down and ranted and raved about it, the Republicans said, vote for us and we'll repeal it. Okay. And so they just turned it down. They said, no, we're not going to repeal that. Both political parties are controlled by the powers that be, and the New World Order wants this kind of legislation in place. Now, what that does, it reminds me of war. You know, when one side comes up with a tank, the other side has to come up with a means by which they can knock the tank out. So they come up with an Apache helicopter with rockets or a bazooka. And so, you know, they come up with this program, and then we have to come up with a countermeasure. And then they'll come up with some new program to offset that countermeasure, and then we have to come up with a new measure to offset that countermeasure, which offset that new program, and on it goes. It's like spy and counter-spy in Mad Magazine. You know, the white and black spy. Now, civil liberties activists say that it would be a mistake to consider the system solely in terms of finding bad parents and making them pay up. They worry that the network, a massive expansion of earlier child support efforts, sets a new standard for data surveillance by using computers to cross-reference hundreds of millions of personal records about Americans. And that's what it's all about. They want to cross-reference all of the records of every American in every walk of life. So that, watch this, you go into Office Depot, and your master file will show that you have a card at Office Depot and a card at Sam's. So that when the IRS wants to investigate you, they just push that button right there, and they'll have their files at the IRS, but then they can also access all these other files. So that when they want to build a case against you, they can put you away for life. And then they're going to do that. Revelation 6 tells us they're going to do that. Revelation 13 tells us they're going to do that. And God Almighty himself said, you give me the finger and watch what I do to you. And you'll see that in Deuteronomy 28. So I thought I'd point that out, that the better program, the better all-around program, is the 10% tithe in opposition to the 42% income tax. Strict liability is a better program than limited liability, also known as insurance. So you might want to tuck that away in your heart. And over the past quarter century, since the Privacy Act was enacted in 1974, the federal government has tried to place limits on how its officials could compare databases to find or profile people. And in general, the government was supposed to limit data collection about people who paid taxes, received a federal benefit, served in the military, or tangled with the judicial system. Critics say this new effort leaps beyond those practices by systematically creating centralized files about workers, wages, and families, and sifting through those files to find a relatively small number of suspected deadbeats. And the purpose isn't to find the small number of deadbeats. Remember, there's only 12 million of them. It's to build a database on the 308 million Americans, period. Period. And then they want to fill the database with all this neat information that they can use against you, you know, depending upon the circumstances, so that your local prosecutor has a whole lot more to work with than just the ticket that you got last week from Highway Patrolman Joe Pedroni. As William Bendix used to say, what a revolting development this has turned out to be. Well, there's a way, where there's a will, there's a way. And that's why I pointed out to you, is I'm not complaining. I'm not excited about it one way or the other. I'm pretty private, you know, in those areas that I want to be private. And you can be just about that private also. And we'll talk about that next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But we're out of time right now, so let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. And if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. No, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time. Same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.